If you like to watch birds, you'll love the Winter Wings Festival in the Klamath Basin. Maybe you already do. Winter Wings features a number of events, speaking, video, and, of course, field trips in and around Klamath Falls starting a week from today. The festival takes advantage of Klamath Falls' position on the Pacific Flyway, meaning lots and lots of different species of birds at least pass through during the year. Let's talk about the events of this year's Winter Wings with Diana Samuels, who's a festival co-coordinator. Diana, welcome back to The Exchange.
Thank you very much. Good to talk to you, Jeffrey.
Good to have you here. And Richard Crossley's with us as well. He's a champion birder and one of this year's keynote speakers. Richard, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks for having me. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Diana, let's tell us how this got started. It's been quite a while now.
Well, this is our 36th year, and we're stronger than ever. It got started as a bald eagle conference, but over the years, it's become a birding festival, and we also focus a lot of our activities on photography. So we have 4 days' worth of activities starting next Thursday, focusing on birding and photography, and then, of course, activities for families.
The mind boggles as I look at the program, because for all the different workshops and field trips and video sessions and even mini sessions and things like that. I mean, how many people show up for Winter Wings?
Well, we've been running between about 550 and 650 registrants. As of today, we have over 450 people registered. We encourage people to get online and sign up for all of these activities to ensure spots. And I have to tell you, at this point, we have very limited availability in our field trips. But we still have the possibility for visitors to come over and take advantage of some of our other activities, including the keynotes, of which Richard is giving one on Saturday night.
How big a coup is it to get Richard Crossley as a speaker?
It's a big get. We started working on this 2 years ago. We're very thrilled that he's going to be coming out to Southern Oregon this year.
So, Richard, let's talk about you. You're regarded as one of the top birders around anywhere. You're British by birth. Got interested in birding at age 7. Was that a slow development of interest, or did it just hit you a bang one day?
Well, I lived in the boonies, actually, Jeff, and my dad and his dad were egg collectors, so it's a sort of a big no-no these days. But egg collecting was very big, a bit like duck hunting, I guess you would say, over here. And so that's how I first got into birding. And when I was 10, I moved to a different area where my school teacher got me to get a pair of binoculars. And I guess that was that. I've never looked back since. So by the time I was 13 or 14, I would say obsessed is a good word for it, you know.
I was reading about egg collecting in the New Yorker about a year ago. It's definitely frowned upon now, but it was just for decorative purposes, or just to say, hey, look, I got this bird.
Well, I think it's the same thing. It's just a sport, you know, trying to get as many different, you know, different types of species as you can, you know, to, I guess, a form of listing. And obviously you wanted to get the rarer ones as well. But quite interestingly, my dad always taught me, you only ever take one egg because you don't want to destroy the species. You don't want to ruin the nest. So there was a sort of a double-edged sword to it. There was a sort of a conservation message to it as well.
So what prompted your move to the United States, Richard?
Oh, there's only one thing, right? Birds. I just graduated when I was 21, and I was doing the European thing where you go traveling for a year or two, and I wanted to come to the U.S. So the place to come on the East Coast for migration is Cape May. So I came to Cape May, and I guess it was love at first sight. And I moved here for good a few years later, and here I am.
And Cape May, New Jersey is where you live now?
Yep, Cape May, New Jersey, yep.
You're picking up the accent. That's good. Are birds more interesting here? I mean, you said you came over for birds. I don't know how serious you were about that.
Oh, yeah. But the bird in here is spectacular. A lot more species. You know, the weather's brighter as well. There are a lot more birds. You get better views of them. So the birding over here is really, I think, is absolutely spectacular. So that is why I came here, and probably why I'll never leave here. So, and I live in a fantastic place. America has a number of really famous places. And actually, Klamath Basin is one of those places, particularly in winter for the, you know, remarkable ducks, geese, raptors, It's a really spectacular place. I'm really excited about coming out there.
Have you not been to the Klamath Basin before?
I've been to a lot of places, but that's, funnily enough, I've not been there. I've been fairly close a few times. So, as I said, I'm really excited about coming out.
Richard Crossley is a champion birder and one of the keynote speakers at this year's Winter Wings Festival in Klamath Falls and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. We're also talking to Diana Samuels, the festival co-coordinator or co-organizer. She gets listed differently in different places, but you can join us on the Jefferson Exchange either way to talk about birds or the festival. 800-838-3760 throughout our listening area. 800-838-3760 or send emails to jx@jeffnet.org. Diana, for the folks who don't know, and obviously Richard had heard about it but not been there, what does make Klamath Falls or the Klamath Basin such a bird hotspot?
Well, one thing is that we have the largest wintering group of bald eagles of any state except for Alaska. So we right now have good viewing opportunities with bald eagles. Folks that are out in the field are saying they're seeing between 50 and 100 in one day. So that's one thing that's really special. In addition, we have thousands of waterfowl that migrate in, and they're coming in great numbers. So you can see tundra swans and snow geese, white-fronted geese. Our sandhill cranes just arrived this week. And in addition, Richard mentioned raptors. This is one of the great areas for raptor viewing. In addition to the eagles, we've got a lot of golden eagles present right now and various hawks and falcons. So for those people that enjoy raptors, it's really a paradise over here.
And these are birds that you really can't see in other parts of the region, I gather. I mean, you're only going to see them in places where, like in the Klamath Basin, where there are vast stretches of open water?
Well, we have the benefit of having several wildlife refuges near to Klamath Falls. And so a lot of the birds that are migrating in are taking up residence at those refuges. So Tule Lake National Refuge is a great place to see the eagles this year, and also Lower Klamath National Wildlife Refuge. So it is a drought year, and there is a little bit less habitat for the birds, so that may focus them into the areas of the open water that is available.
I think one of the things that Jeff is really famous for is the spectacles. So for an English boy that never sees more than hundreds at a time, to come to somewhere like Klamath and see thousands and sometimes tens of thousands of geese taking off, is that's almost something you die with. And, you know, again, Diana mentioned about photography. So a lot of people often think they need these big fancy camera lenses. You actually don't, you know, to catch the spectacle. Just the camera on the phone will work, you know. And so I think it's the spectacles that are really, they really do or die. That's the things that people like myself live for. So, as I said, can't wait to get out there. And but I have to mention this. Diana hadn't mentioned it, but I know on Saturday they have like a super science thing for the kids, and I'm still a very big kid, you know. So I'm really excited about seeing that. So I think that's from 10 till 3, and they have a number of people coming in for that. To straighten people like me out, you know?
Yeah. What Richard's referring to, we're going to have a special science fest offered by OMSI. So we have staff coming down from Portland, from the Oregon Museum of Science and Industry, and they're going to be having several hands-on activities. These are all free activities. It's a wonderful opportunity for families to come over to Klamath Falls and spend time with these educators doing some science activities that focus on dinosaurs or magnets or bugs, those kinds of things. So we really hope that people will come in for that free Science Fest day that's part of the festival this year.
I'm still struck by the number and complexity of events going on at the thing, because I think I finally finished counting the 30 different field trips you're offering through Winter Wings.
Yes, and almost all of those are filled at this time. But this is sponsored by the Klamath Basin Audubon Society, and we have about 100 volunteers that work with us to put this on, and so it's a great fundraising activity for the Audubon Society, and gets a lot of people involved in showing off our wonderful community to visitors.
We're talking to Diana Samuels, who's one of the co-organizers of the Winter Wings Festival in Klamath Falls next weekend. Richard Crossley is one of the keynote speakers and a champion birder. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange. Your questions and comments are welcome at 800-838-3760, 800-838-3760, anywhere in our listening area. You can send emails as well to jx@jeffnet.org. Richard, I'm curious about your keynote. First of all, what is a champion birder? How do you become a champion at birding?
I'm not sure I am a champion birder, a crazy birder, and there's been a few other adjectives to describe me, but I'm not sure about the champion thing. I'm probably a little bit more obsessed than most, and we do the Crossley ID guides, which are unique, and I'm not sure if champion's the word for that. I think crazy, given that there's over 10,000 images in there, which I took all myself, and very unique type of books, which I don't think anybody else in this world would be mad enough, not champion enough to do. So I talk about a little bit about that in the books, in my keynote. But the keynote is more, it's really about all the lessons I've learned from growing up in the crazy British birding scene to traveling around the world a lot. I spent a lot of time in Asia and to living in America. And you know, wherever you go, this is something inspirational to be learned, and some of it's a little funny as well. I even do a little poem and a little song, and I sometimes get a little eccentric in my talk, so never really sure what's going to happen. So I think it's kid-friendly as well, so it's both serious and entertaining, and goes very quick, so hopefully nobody will be falling asleep.
When I look at this skills from your website, I mean, even your paintings are pretty good. Is there anything you do badly?
Oh, we won't go into that right now. It'd be a lot. How long's your program?
Yeah, we got a few minutes left still. All right, let's talk about the Crossley ID books, though, because, I mean, I got used to looking at the Peterson guides for birds. And is the Crossley ID guides starting to replace those in a sense?
I hope so. I believe they should. I mean, we now know how the brain works and how we learn, and that you know, we've all heard practice makes perfect. We all know that lifelike images work. So, you know, if I go and rob a bank or something while I'm over there, the cops are going to want a photo of me rather than a painting of me, because it's more lifelike. So, you know, with technology as it is today, with digital cameras and Photoshop, we can create these lifelike images from near to far that really shows a complete picture. Birds in habitat. See, a bird's size and its shape and its behavior, its colors, they're all in direct response to where it lives. So it only makes sense that we, you know, create these lifelike scenes. And not only that, you know, why do we really love birding? Well, we love the beauty of the birds, but we also love the beauty of the landscape. So it just makes sense to show all of that. And so we're very fortunate that we're in an era where we can create this type of imagery. That is a bit painful and expensive to do, but hopefully it'll be game-changing, you know?
Painful? What circumstances have you run up against where your work with the Get Pictures of Birds was painful?
Well, I've got a very messed up back right now from carrying a big cameras around all day, so my spine's pretty much gone. At the base of the spine's gone, you know, and that's probably the worst thing. So I'm often in a lot of agony, funnily enough. So.
You know, honestly, I'm not surprised, having looked at some videos on your website from the Wild in the City series, that lens you carry, was that a 2,000-millimeter lens?
It feels like it. Now, I usually carry a 500-millimeter, but probably a sign I'm not as young as I once was. So carrying it around for 12 hours a day, which you know, I did spend a few years doing, it does take its toll.
Well, and that comes back to the question about technology, because you were talking earlier about the fact that with phones now, you can get really good pictures without needing a lot of heavy equipment. But are you still kind of an old school guy? You want to have the really good stuff you got used to with you?
I am an old school guy, but I have to say, I think today what's happening with the cameras is really going to change birding. You know, people love looking at images on a computer, and it is remarkable what you can buy today for very little and create fantastic imagery. And I think people are really getting into birding because of the photography aspect of it. And I'm obviously, Diana's well ahead of this. That's why there's lots of different photographic things at the Winter Wings Festival.
Two things I would like to mention. We are hosting a photo contest over the weekend. And so one of the things you can do is take photos while you're out birding here, or take photos of some of these spectacles that Richard was talking about and submit them. And we have some prizes that will offer you discounts off of next year's festival registrations. And in addition, Canon is part of our suite of sponsors, and they are bringing in Jennifer Wu, who is our second keynoter at the festival, and she'll be talking on Friday night, and she takes some amazing photos of night skies. She's a landscape photographer, and so she's making her first appearance. So we do have a really heavy orientation towards nature photography for those folks that come over this next weekend.
I think one thing, Jeff, I'd like to say is one of the things going to these festivals, what always strikes me, even if you're not going on an organized trip, there are always lots of people around. So people like myself, you know. So we're often just around and we're always available to talk to. And I know for me, I always meet inspirational people there as well, where people I learn a lot from. And so I think just by having so many people around in one small area, there's always going to be somebody pointing you to a great spot to get the best photographs, or somebody who's going to tell you something that's going to help you. So even if you're not going on an organized tour, I think they're just great things to go to where you learn a lot. And so hopefully we'll get a few of your folks coming to say hello to me. I'll be there all 3 days. 4 days, and you know, I'm pretty available. So I always think it's great when particularly the young people come up and are asking questions, because we always, for somebody like myself, it's always a dream to be talking to the young people, because you want to have an influence on them, and you always think you can do something to change their life and make a difference.
We are talking to Richard Crossley and Diana Samuels. Richard Crossley is one of the keynote speakers at the Winter Wings Festival starting in a week. Diana Samuels, one of the festival co-organizers. You can join us on the exchange in the minutes we've got left. 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Diana, has the character of Winter Wings changed much over the 3+ decades it's been going on?
I would say it has. Part of this is this emphasis on photography activities. But what we also learned is that you need to keep it fresh. You can't keep repeating the same activities year after year. So we try and design about 30 to 40% new activities into the program each year, bringing in new leaders, new speakers, and trying out different activities. So, for example, this year we're taking a trip to Lava Beds National Park. We're doing some snowshoe tracking activities. So we just try and have some ancillary programs that are different from what we've offered in the past. And that, we hope, will encourage people to keep coming back, because you're not going to see the same program that you saw in previous years.
I have to ask, Diana, if by the time you get to the end of the weekend, if some people are just birded out, they just don't want to look at another bird, like, you know, show me something with four legs.
I don't think that is an issue. No. I think if you're passionate about birds, I don't think you can get overloaded by coming here.
So, Richard Crossley, for you, there are still some horizons to go for. You haven't been to the Klamath Basin before. I mean, are there other places in the world that you really want to go to see birds that you haven't gotten to yet?
Oh, there's lots of places. I actually love going back to places I've been before. It's amazing how you go somewhere a second time and you see it in a different light. Particularly for photography, the more you go to a place, the better imagery you get. But lots of places in the world I'd love to go, but. It's time, I'm working on a Western guide, I'm finishing that up, and a waterfowl guide that will be a little controversial, I think, because it's going to be both for birders and for hunters, so that will be a first.
Hmm.
So right now I'm still pretty focused, one track mind, which is, completing these books and getting a few more images. So on this trip I have to get some photos of some more geese, but particularly some backgrounds. That's actually the hardest thing to do for my books, is get real good background shots that tell the story. So hopefully we can put Klamath Basin on the map a bit more, and we can create a few dynamic backgrounds from being out there.
How long have when did the first of the Crossley guides come out?
I was co-author on a shorebird guide, I guess that's probably 8 years ago or something. Time flies. And
the reason I ask is just to know if there are any adjustments that you're having to make now, because I know that having talked to other birders west of the Cascades, they're seeing birds in places they didn't used to see them as the climates change.
Yeah, climate warming is really having a big impact to see where we live here. There's always adjustments, and one of the fantastic things about birding is it's really still in its infancy. And, sometimes people talk like we know so much, but the way I see it is, and maybe I'm talking personally, I feel like I know so little, and it's one of those things, the more you look, the more you realize you don't know. So even in the Klamath Basin, the geese are moving around a lot, and we still, need to work out what are the things that actually make them come there. Some of the geese are actually wintering further north than what they used to do now.
Lots of changes, but all talked about at the Winter Wings Festival next weekend. Diana Samuels, Festival co-organizer. Richard Crossley, one of the keynote speakers. Pleasure to talk to both of you. Thanks for joining us on The Exchange today.
Thanks you very much.